darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio, where we are wrapping up NRB 2025. That is the National Religious Broadcasters Convention for the year 2025, hosted here at the beautiful Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center. You know, one of the things, Jeff, we need to do next time we do this, I may walk around and get some video to get people an idea what this is like, because it's really hard to put in words. You have ministries from all over the world that are here connecting with broadcasters, television, radio, podcasters, you name it. And it's an amazing display. It's encouraging on one hand to see that there are brethren all over the world attempting to leave it all out on the field, so to speak, for the kingdom of God. And then on the other hand, when I see all of this stuff that's going on, it makes me think, man, how effective are we? You know, because, you know, I think about the scripture, you know, these few men who shaken up the whole world who ended up here, you know, and it's just amazing. It gives the appearance there really is no shortage of resources in the body of Christ if we would be resolved to use them for the Lord's purposes. So it's an interesting phenomenon that is happening. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to make your move with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, recognizing that the Great Commission is to make disciples. And as we talked about earlier this week, the disciple-making commission includes, of course, the proclamation of the gospel. Disciple-making and evangelism are not mutually exclusive. They are not rivals. They are twain. They are together. You cannot make disciples without evangelism. It's not possible. But we also need to understand that the commission is to make disciples. I've been blessed to have with me here on site J-Mac, who will be with me throughout the year as we hit the road in various places. And I'm also happy to say that his sweater is fitting today. It's not an extra schmedium, that he's able to breathe. We don't have to have any EMS workers, or EMT, I should say, workers on standby for a lack of blood flow to the brain due to extra schmedium constriction. None of that is happening at the moment. So I'm excited about that. You know, I'm excited about it. I guess the furtive conversations we have been worthwhile. But oh man, so many things are happening. This is the place where we remind you daily that what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. I'm not saying that because it's a catchy phrase. I'm saying it because it's true. You will not be personally directly accountable to God, nor are you directly responsible for the things that transpire in the White House, because there are things happening there that are beyond your jurisdiction. But there are things in your home, what transpires in your home, where you have jurisdiction, where you have the authority, that is what you will be accountable to God for. As I've said numerous times, and I will continue to say, when you have been captured by the King of Glory, you move from merely giving offerings to becoming the offering, to where you're not merely attempting to submit something to God on your behalf. What you submit is your entire self. That is what I'm striving toward, and I encourage you to strive toward. And if, as each of us, every single member of the body of Christ, there is no insignificant member of the body of Christ. As each of us lays our proverbial log on the fire, we will be able to kindle a flame, to kindle an outsized flame for the glory of God. So as you're making your way to your full-time jobs, please understand, we need you. The body of Christ needs your contribution. And if you're listening to me and you're not yet a believer, and I know there's some who listen who are not believers, and you find yourself asking, man, why do I keep listening to this guy? He talks about the Bible every day. He talks about God every day. But I keep listening to this guy. I just want to tell you very plainly, as the Lord is drawing you, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Salvation is a free gift of God that is obtained by grace through faith. It's not a feature of works. It is because we are saved that we work, but we work from a position of having been saved. We don't work in order to procure salvation. To the word of God we go. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 is what I want to share, because there are things I've wanted to get to during this week, but we have been just, you know, jam-packed. And I think this is an appropriate conversation to have after we've been talking about purity and other things of that nature. It's an appropriate conversation to have. I want to simply remind you, when we turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah lived from about 767 to 681 BC, all right? He's called into ministry at about 740 BC. You know, the scripture tells us plainly, Isaiah 6, verse 1, that in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That's Isaiah. That's what Isaiah is talking about. It's important to note that Isaiah's life and ministry transpires almost an entire century prior to the conquest of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. And it's important because Isaiah is warning the southern kingdom and really inviting them to repent. In fact, the overarching purpose of the ministry that Isaiah rendered to the southern kingdom is to call Judah back to Yahweh in repentance and to proclaim salvation, and to proclaim salvation through Messiah. And so there are words here in Isaiah chapter 1 that are prescient, and to me they read like front page news to 21st century America. A couple things I'll say right up front. I know for a fact that America is not Israel. All right, I don't want anybody saying, well, Abe, you do realize. I understand that. I understand for a fact that America is not Judah. However, there are enduring principles in Scripture that apply universally and that are instructive for us in light of what our Lord has recorded for us in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. This is what the Word of God says. I got to maneuver around this boom stand so I can see the text, you know. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons, I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation. People weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Right at the beginning of verse 1, Isaiah communicates to us the scope of his ministry, that as he served Yahweh prophetically to the southern kingdom of Judah during the reigns of successive kings of Judah, beginning with Uzziah, then to Jotham, then to Ahaz, then to King Hezekiah. That is how we learn that the time frame, of Isaiah's ministry. Then we go on, and the Lord conveys through Isaiah, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. One of the major things that God has been impressing upon me is that the word of God demands attention. The word of God demands attention. When Isaiah pins the phrase, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks, it's a summoning, a rousing to attention of the entire expanse of creation, because God his presence, and more, and in particular here, his word demands attention. Then he begins his rebuke of Judah through Isaiah by saying, "Sons, I have reared and brought up." Very immediately in this portion of scripture, God is affirming the notion that his grace is extended from a posture of a father. And he's contrasting Judah's rebellion. He's contrasting his fatherly disposition with Judah's rebellion and ingratitude in using animals in their response to their earthly masters, contrasting that with Judah. Oxes, an ox knows its owner. A donkey knows its master's manger. But he's saying, but my people have revolted against me. My people Israel does not know, do not understand. Then we get to verse 4, and the Hebrew text is even more expressive. When he says, "Alas, sinful nation," it is a cry of pain, a cry of pain. What Isaiah is confronting is the reality that wickedness has become Judah's national heritage. That's why it says, "Alas, O sinful nation." Instead of being a people defined by covenantal commitment to Yahweh, exemplified through obedience, they have become a nation to where their national heritage is sinfulness, sin-ladenness, which is why he says people weighed down with iniquity. Offspring of evildoers. Notice the connection. In verse 2, when he says, "Sons I have reared," but now God is referring to them as the offspring of evildoers. Again, sons, verse 4, who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. This turning away in the Hebrew literally means it's conveying being utterly estranged. Utterly is estranged from God. Then the Lord through Isaiah presents a question. Where will you be stricken again? The communication there is like a body that is wounded with welts everywhere, to where there's no place on the physical body that has not been stricken, that has not been wounded. And this is a means of communicating that Judah has become through and through sin-filled, overly corrupted by sin. And then he uses this metaphor. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. This follows the verse 5 reference. Where will you be stricken again? Why would you be struck down again? Because what should occur, pain stimulating the brain. But in this instance, pain is not even a stimulus that will provoke the repentance, because they've been enduring the pain. It's not having the desired result. Verse 5 is articulating the fact that the rot is comprehensive. It is through and through. There is no soundness at any point in Judah. That's what the Lord has communicated to them. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. Only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. You contrast that with the New Testament reference to Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah, being the balm of Gilead. But in this instance, Judah's sickness, this sin sickness, is unhealed. Only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out, not bandaged, not softened with oil. In many ways, guys, in many, many, many ways, and I don't say this to negate from some of the amazing things that are happening in our country, but we need to be honest with ourselves about one major reality, that we have become a people, become a nation that is overrun with sinfulness. That instead of the church being the pillar and ground of truth, many people are looking to political leaders because we cannot find the type of leadership that is necessary from the church. And so this is why I have been saying, and I will continue to say, the most enduring need for the people of God, the most enduring need for Christians in America, the most enduring need for America is repentance. A nation cannot be made great solely by economic prowess, solely by governmental processes. Greatness would only come for our nation when we become a people that has humbled ourselves and submitted ourselves to God. Repentance is the order of the day. May God give us the grace that is necessary to have his ambassadors fill our nation proclaiming his gospel.
Today, Christians are facing challenges in homeless ministry. In 2023, homelessness reached its highest level since reporting began in 2007, even affecting families with children, unaccompanied youth, and the elderly. Homeless ministries require long-term commitment and support, not quick fixes. Pastor Jim Yates advises taking manageable steps when building a homeless ministry. Read the full article, Compassion, It's a Messy Business, by me, Jordan Chambly, on thestand.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here, live and direct from NRB 2025, broadcasting right at this moment from the exhibit hall floor at the Gaylord Texan, the beautiful Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center. And I'm going to give you an example of what I mean, what I was talking about in the first segment. All right, this is something that I wanted to get to, and you cannot make this stuff up. So with the house cleaning that is happening at the federal government, we learned that the National Security Agency, which is under the National Intelligence Department that is being headed up now by Tulsi Gabbard, we learned that the National Security Agency has people within it, agents within it, who have been using the NSA's Interlink program. Guys, I am not making this stuff up. They have been using the Interlink program, and I'm going to give you the exact terminology. The exact terminology. Using the Interlink program to participate in, quote, obscene, pornographic, and sexually explicit chat rooms at the NSA. They were, you know, and I don't want to be too graphic. Young ones, tell your parents. This is a moment that Mr. Abe is saying you probably need to stop listening. All right. These are our governmental employees, government agents who work in our intelligence agencies. These are the people who have access, for example, to 702 FISA utilizations. All right. And they're using our tax dollars through the NSA's Interlink program to have a chat room where they're talking about orgiastic conduct. They are talking about fetishes, describing and discussing the, dare I say, benefits of genital mutilation surgeries, and guys, simply put, outright nastiness. The Interlink program created these chat room accessibilities under the Biden administration's DEI initiatives. Well, they had these maxims, diversity is our strength. And when they say diversity, they clearly don't mean ideological diversity. People have divergent, no. They mean topical, superficial diversity. They mean sexual rebellion against the high and holy God. They don't mean anything concerning diversity of viewpoints, not in the least bit. But they've been using our tax dollars for these purposes. And thanks to what's transpiring now through DOGE and other efforts, and the cleaning house efforts that are happening to root out corruption and other things and waste and fraud and abuse, we find out these are the things that are happening. And once it was brought to Tulsi Gabbard's attention, she immediately responded to send out a memorandum to require each agency to identify all of the people who are participating in this nonsense. And they were terminated immediately. Listen to and watch clip number four, go.
Jesse, what we're going to do has already been done. There are over 100 people from across the intelligence community that contributed to and participated in this, what is really just an egregious violation of trust, what to speak of like basic rules and standards around professionalism. I put out a directive today that they all will be terminated and their security clearances will be revoked. But the thing here, Jesse, is like, we got to take a step back because this is just barely scratching the surface. When you see what these people were saying, and thanks to Chris Rufo for putting it all out online, they were brazen in using an NSA platform intended for professional use to conduct this kind of really, really horrific behavior. And they were brazen in doing this because when was the last time anyone was really held accountable? Certainly not over the last 4 years, certainly not over the last 10, maybe 20 years. And we look at some of the biggest violations of the American people's trust in the intelligence community. So today's action in holding these individuals accountable is just the beginning of what we're seeing across the Trump administration, which is carrying out the mandate the American people gave him. Clean house, root out that rot and corruption and weaponization and politicization so we can start to rebuild that trust in these institutions that are charged with an important mission of serving the American people, ensuring our safety, security, and freedom.
Guys, this is an example of what I'm talking about. The logs, and guys, this is all documented. I'm not showing you screenshots of the actual exchanges, frankly, because they're too vile to show on this program. The messages, the logs of the messages date back 2 years. And as I mentioned already, they were the creation of, or should I say the utilization of the Interlink program for these types of communications found safe haven under the Biden administration's, you know, DEI policies. That's shameful. It's shameful. And these are the people who work, or these are some of the people who work, and these people work in our intelligence agencies, guys. Now, I want you to think, for example, about Isaiah chapter 59. All right. We've talked about this before. Think about Isaiah 59, the whole chapter. But zoom in on verses 14 to about 17 or 18. And I want you to recall how Isaiah diagnosed this. Before we get to the presence of corruption in official places of authority, Isaiah diagnosed it perfectly. The thing that preceded the corruption was truth had fallen in the streets. Remember that. Truth falling in the streets is what precipitated justice turning its way backwards and uprightness not being able to enter. In the places where the citizenry expected to secure justice, halls of government, court proceedings, these areas, they could not obtain it because uprightness was not allowed to enter. Those things are secondary to the corruption in the streets. I'm sorry, the corruption in the official sanctions of society in governmental apparatuses followed the rejection of truth in society. And the same thing is happening now. The same thing has happened now. And this is why I've been continuously emphasizing that we have to seek to have a gospel-anchored discipleship movement in our nation. Because if we're looking solely to government, guys, it's not going to be an enduring source of anything. It's not going to be an enduring source of anything. It should not be lost on any of us that we were literally having a conversation, literally, where the U.S. Supreme Court entertained oral arguments in the Scrimeti case debating whether minors, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, were actually identifiable, distinct from their biological makeup. That argument took place less than a decade following the Obergefell decision of 2015. Obergefell, which was preceded by Lawrence versus Texas, that reversed Bowers versus Hardwick, precipitated Scrimeti's argument. Can you imagine what we'll be talking about within the next 5 years? It wasn't even 10 years, 9 years. 2015 is when Obergefell was decided. The Scrimeti argument took place in 2024. It's not even 10 years after. 9 years and some change. If our society continues in the same direction and the same trajectory it has been on, can you imagine where we will be? You know, I just this week, you had a state legislator in Maine, a woman, who had the audacity to stand up and say, listen, at the state level, we need to oppose boys playing in girls' sports. We should not allow men in women's sports. In the state of Maine, the state legislature censured this legislator, stripped her of her right to vote to the body she was elected by the citizens in the state to represent. Guys, that flows downstream from a condition that precedes it. I'm going to show you what happens next. So in addition to NSA using, some of these members of NSA using the Interlink program for this lasciviousness is the only way you could describe it. Tulsi Gabbard goes on to explain, and by the way, CNN has been functioning as the spokesperson and the propaganda arm for the intelligence community in America. Listen to and watch clip number two. Go.
There's going to be a lot of house cleaning because now we're hearing CIA agents don't like getting doged, so they're going to sell state secrets to our enemies. What are we going to do here?
I am curious about how they think this is a good tactic to keep their job. They're exposing themselves essentially by making this indirect threat using their propaganda arm through CNN that they've used over and over and over again to reveal their hand, that their loyalty is not at all to America. It is not to the American people or the Constitution. It is to themselves. And these are exactly the kind of people that we need to root out, get rid of, so that the patriots who do work in this area, who are committed to our core mission, can actually focus on that. I got to tell you, one of the byproducts of what I just saw literally today is because of this immediate action of transparency and accountability, I have people within the intelligence community reaching out to me personally and directly saying, hey, you need to know about this. You need to look over here. People are stepping forward because they are all on board with the mission to clean house and refocus on our core mission of serving the American people.
I love to hear that, that there's a lot of patriots that want to join you.
So, guys, you cannot make this stuff up. So you have, according to the clip you just heard, and the director of National Intelligence is communicating that there are members of the CIA, America's Central Intelligence Agency, that they don't like accountability. They don't like inquiries concerning waste and fraud and abuse. They don't want anybody looking up under the hood. So because, because they don't like people attempting to hold their agency accountable, they're threatening to sell American state secrets to foreign nations? And you wondered where the sources of opposition to President Trump in his first term was coming from? You wonder how are all of these three-letter agencies, you know, that the American people never heard of, but they're getting hundreds of millions of American taxpayer dollars, all kind of initiatives happening all over the world. You know, the Obama administration utilizing the CIA to fund and to arm what became ISIS. The American people didn't consent to that. The American people had no participation in that. But these things are happening, and now that there's an effort to hold them accountable, that you have CIA operatives saying, you know what, we don't like this. We don't like this at all. So we are going to respond to this by selling American state secrets to foreign nations. How is that anything but treason? How is it? Can somebody explain it to me? How is that anything other than treasonous? And on top of that, as you heard Tulsi Gabbard say, and look, you listened to the show, I told you I have my questions and concerns about Tulsi Gabbard. I'm still in a position of I'm going to evaluate what's happening. But so far, what's happened so far, and it's just been a very short amount of time, you have these things happening, and the exposure of these things are downstream from the conditioned precedent. Remember Isaiah 59. Corruption in the official halls of justice, justice turned backwards, being unable to enter, was downstream from truth falling in the streets. And the way the Hebrew renders it is that truth is hurled down to be trampled, hurled down to be trampled. That precedes the corruption. That precedes it. See, if we leave our analysis at the identify and root out the corruption in the governmental sources, what we fail to assess is the culture that gives rise to this. It was a cultural response to where, you know, rebellion against God was normalized. Sexual rebellion was normalized. The thing that God made to be a feature of a covenantal union between a husband and a wife has been twisted, perverted, denigrated, as Dr. Everett Piper often describes it, that the Imago Dei was turned to cause people to live according to the Imago Dog. That cultural phenomenon has existed so that when the Biden administration starts with their DEI initiatives, you have national security agency personnel that say, hey, let's use this Interlink program for hookups and for orgiastic behavior and to celebrate all these things. CIA operatives who are brazen in their willingness to say, hey, we don't want to be held accountable, so we'll threaten you because we'll threaten to sell American secrets to foreign nations. Guys, this is where we are. This is indicative of what Isaiah talked about, the whole head being sick, the whole heart being faint, there being no soundness in it. I'm simply attempting to communicate that the effort for America to become who God has made her to be, establish her to be, it cannot rest on governmental activity. It has to include the people in our nation being confronted with the truth of Scripture, the reality of the gospel being proclaimed, and disciples being made in our nation in fulfillment of our King's Great Commission.
Maybe you've heard that AFA has a streaming platform, AFA Stream. Maybe you've just not thought about it. Maybe you're happy with the streaming platforms you already have. Would you consider giving AFA Stream a chance? What is on AFA Stream? Documentaries, educational material, some entertainment. If you want some spiritual inspiration, if you want to grow more in Jesus, then consider giving us a visit at AFA Stream on Roku or at stream.afa.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Oh, man. So much is happening, as I've just described for you and to you, that the corruption is downstream from the cultural reality. I'm going to give you another example of it. So, and this is in the opposite direction, not necessarily evidence of corruption, but evidence of resistance to efforts to root out the corruption. So a lot of us know that Kash Patel was confirmed by the U.S. Senate that he's currently our director, the United States of America's Federal Bureau of Investigations director. Well, it was also announced here recently that Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, patriot, who has now accepted the appointment to be the deputy FBI director. And a lot of people don't know, Dan Bongino made pretty good money being, you know, a talk show host, close to $5 million a year he made, you know. And he's abandoning that to take a $200-something thousand a year job to be deputy director at the FBI. And regressives are losing their minds. They're attempting to denigrate his law enforcement service, his law enforcement career, by saying, oh, yeah, President Trump is trying to hire a podcaster. Very similar to what they attempted to do with Pete Hegseth. Ignore the fact that he was a decorated military veteran, a war fighter in tune with the servicemen on the ground. They try to reduce Pete Hegseth to being nothing more than a Fox News television host, ignoring his life and career prior to doing that. I mean, that's what the media did. And the same ones who Tulsi Gabbard confronted as being the propaganda arm for the intelligence community. Well, Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt addressed Dan Bongino's appointment as the deputy director of the FBI because, predictably, regressives were losing their minds. Listen to and watch clip number three. Clip number three, go.
I'm not sure if anybody in this room has listened to Mr. Bongino when he talks about the past corruption at the FBI, when he talks about his experience serving for the United States Secret Service. This is a man who loves his country and who has honorably served our country in ways that many people have not. He understands the depth of the corruption at these institutions, which the American people reelected President Trump to shake up. And I think it's quite despicable to see many networks in this room who have had chyrons on their television screens labeling Mr. Bongino as a far-right podcaster. He is not. He is a former law enforcement agent. He is a former Secret Service agent who put his life on the line to protect this country, and that is why the President of the United States has entrusted him for this important role. He's also an outsider to this Washington swamp, and we often see that when outsiders are appointed to such coveted positions, a lot of people in this city get very, very nervous, and they should be, because Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and Attorney General Bondi are focused on rooting out the corruption at these agencies and ending the weaponization of government once and for all.
They are afraid, guys. They are afraid. You ever, you know, heard of the adage, you turn the lights on and the cockroaches scatter? Guys, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. And I say this, and I mean this with everything in me. There should not be an American citizen that should consent, regardless of political affiliation. Democrats, Republicans, and independents, we should all want to know what has been happening with our tax dollars. These are our agencies. And yet these people are squirming. Why are they afraid of Dan Bongino? Why were they afraid of Kash Patel? Why were they opposed to the Epstein client list being released? You know, I posted on X a couple days ago, Pam Bondi's announcement that she had the Epstein client file on her desk and was reviewing it in anticipation of publication. You know what that communicates? That the Department of Justice under the Biden administration had the exact same client list. Why weren't they interested in publishing it? I mean, do we or don't we oppose trafficking girls for rape? And I say rape because regardless, that we have laws in this country that say very plainly that minors cannot consent to this type of activity, which is why it's called rape. Some states refer to it as statutory rape. So do we or don't we oppose this? And y'all know as well as I know why they don't want it released. Because of the people who's going to be implicated from it. And so, what's the hesitation? Every American, regardless of political affiliation, should want this. But I'm going to reemphasize what I said before. It's the whole head sickness, the whole heart faintness that has given rise to this metastasizing corruption. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. You have the 2020 chicanery with 53 intelligence agency officials signing a letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop bore all of the markings of Russian disinformation. And yet you have the Biden administration concluding with him providing an 11-year pardon for his own son that covers the dates that are implicated by the Biden laptop. You cannot make this stuff up. Cannot make this stuff up. Or how about this? I mean, this is so laughable. Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper, and I don't know, I sent this one. I don't know if you have this clip. I don't think you have that one. I sent it, but may not have it. Yeah. But that's all right. Jake Tapper went overboard attempting to rebuke people who said, hey, Joe Biden's declined to such a degree to where is he mentally fit? Is he capable of functioning as a chief executive of the military? Is he capable of serving in that capacity? Jake Tapper pounced on people who said that and said, well, it's well known that Mr. Biden has a stutter. He has a stutter. And you are mocking a man because of a stutter. Now, the whole world watched. We all watched the meltdown in the presidential debate. We all watched that. And if you listen to the show, you watch the show, you know we showed you examples of it long before the presidential debate. You know, you have literally circumstances where Joe Biden's wife is physically relocating him because he's standing in the wrong spot. How many times where he's been on stage just walking in a direction and seemingly talking with someone who is not there? How many times we saw example after example after example of that? This is why I said to you guys in January of 2020 that Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden would not be the Democrat nominee for the presidency in 2024. I said that. You guys know it. Because Ray Charles could have saw that the man wasn't fit. Ray and Stevie, get the claps out. You know, they all could see that it wasn't happening. Now, Jake Tapper rebuked everybody. You are insulting a man, and you are evilly pouncing on a man who has a stuttering problem. Guess what Jake Tapper just put out? He is publishing a book. I'm gonna read to you what's on the cover of his book. The title of the book, Original Sin. President Biden's decline, its cover-up, and his disastrous choice to run again. Jake Tapper has literally done a 180 from condemning people who highlighted the fact that Joe Biden's decline was evident. And now he's going to write a book about the cover-up of his decline. You cannot make this stuff up. Guys, this is rank hypocrisy. Rank hypocrisy. And not to mention, as you heard Tulsi Gabbard say, that CNN is the propaganda arm of the intelligence community. Jake Tapper works for CNN. How else would you describe that hypocrisy? If you're saying Joe Biden's declined, you are ridiculing a man because he has a stuttering problem. And now Jake Tapper is publishing a book delving into the cover-up of Joe Biden's decline. Remember what Jeremiah said about the wickedness of the southern kingdom of Judah? That they've forgotten how to blush. They've forgotten how to blush. This is an example of forgetting how to blush. They've forgotten how to blush. It's literally like a man, Jake Tapper, coming out and saying, you know what? If you eat meat, you are causing America to be destroyed. And then you see him in the next scene at Fogo de Chao with prime rib between his teeth, talking about if you don't eat meat, you need to be, see. I mean, guys, this is laughable. You cannot make this stuff up. But I want to again reiterate for you that the infection of corruption in official government apparatus flows downstream from a society that allows for that type and level of corruption. Truth is falling in the street following that phenomenon. Oh. Justice cannot be secured. Uprightness cannot be entered. It's inescapable. Now, in contrast that, and this is something that I thought, this is interesting, and this happened, and I just want to just put this on your radar, because this is one of the things we talked about this very, very briefly before, that when Vivek Ramaswamy stepped away from the DOGE initiative, there was a lot of speculation that it was because he was planning to run for either the U.S. Senate in Ohio or for governor. I expected him to run for governor in Ohio, and guess what? He's announced he's running for governor in Ohio. Listen to and watch clip number one. Go.
I am honored to announce my candidacy to serve as the next governor of the state of Ohio. President Trump is reviving our conviction in America. We require a leader here at home who will revive our conviction in Ohio. And that is why today I am honored to announce that I am running to be the next governor of a great state at the heart of the greatest nation known to mankind, the state where I was born and raised, the state where Apoorva and I raise our two sons today, a state whose best days are still ahead. I am honored to announce my candidacy to serve as the next governor of the state of Ohio.
So there you have it. There you have it. Vivek is running for governor of the state of Ohio. I've explained to you guys before when he ran for president, I didn't trust him. Nothing has changed in that regard. I have found him historically to be quite a bit opportunistic, you know. And the one thing is, he's definitely a smart cat, no doubt about it. He has a background in, you know, intellectual property and made a significant amount of money with his own entrepreneurial endeavors. He's definitely a smart guy. He certainly knows how to read a room. You know, he's brought wealth to himself in a short amount of time, being a relatively young guy as well. And all of that is cool. But there are personal markings that have indicated to date that he's been rather self-interested. You know, he's never really sought public service generally until he ran for office. You know, he didn't even register to vote. Didn't even vote until somewhat later in his life. You know, so these are just facts. Now, does that mean that's the way he has to be continuously? No, not necessarily. He could change. He could grow. Absolutely. But I'm just sharing with you what I know today. You know, and you also have the reality of, and I still don't understand this articulation of being a monotheistic Hindu. I don't know how that works. And I simply share that because worldview matters, guys. Worldview matters. You know, we've gotten into a lot of trouble over time because we have had justices nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, by Republican presidents, but they didn't take into consideration their worldviews. We are human beings. What we believe will influence and impact what we do. There are a lot of people that are excited about Vivek Ramaswamy. So we'll see. I hope, should he win, that he represents good for Ohioans, state of Ohio, and for our nation. And I'll tell you very plainly, governors have an outsized capacity to impact things in our nation. So I hope things bode well in that regard. But the most important thing is what we say on a regular basis. What goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. And if we want truth in the public square, we have to be adherents to truth within our own homes and advocates of truth in our own homes. And most importantly, people who live the truth.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.